This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. Tommaso Giuseppe Vincenzo Giuseppe Bonvissuto. Almost got it.
You got it. You got all four of them. Just all in
right.
a different order.
A little different order at first, but I put them right, you know. Hey. And we're going to have a guest tonight, and we're going to open up our line. So we're going to have a guest, and we're going to have open lines all at the same time.
It's exciting.
This is a new concept, man. You know, so what we're going to be talking, we're going to be talking to a lawyer about estate planning, mm-hmm. and also he has a unique combination, estate planning and malpractice. So you can talk about either of the two, or you can call and ask questions about either two, but that's the only kind of questions we're going to take.
That's
estate
it for
planning.
Yep.
And malpractice are the only two questions we're going to take, you know, for our guest tonight, because mm-hmm. that's his specialty. He's an expert in those areas. So if you want to call and ask questions about wills or estates or, you know, how to do your beneficiary designations or should you put your house in joint name and, you know, things of that sort. Or if you have a situation where you feel you've been wronged and you want to know, do I have a, you know, case here? You know, our guests will be able to answer those questions. And before we go to that guest, you know, one of the things I wanted to point out, and a lot of people don't realize, is they write wills and they write all these fancy documents and they think, you know, I've done my estate planning, you
right,
know, and so
right.
forth. But too many people miss is that the beneficiary designations and the way you title your assets are far more important than that document that you wrote with the lawyer. The
yep.
document you wrote with the lawyer is extremely important.
That's right.
But your beneficiary designations will trump your will, mm-hmm. and the way you title your assets will trump your will.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And so we want people to understand that. And, you know, we've got our guest tonight, and we're going to talk about estate planning. But if you want to call in, now would be your best time to do that, so
that's
you
right.
can get the most time to answer your question, 410-922-6680. Let me try that again. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask your question on estate planning or malpractice. And again, you know, one of the big things we see is a lot of people like to put houses in joint name.
Mm-hmm.
I just read a, you know, a little email blip came through from an estate attorney I know, and was talking about, you know, be careful putting houses in joint name with your children thinking you've done a wonderful thing because
right.
you're going to bypass probate. You know, you could be cutting off your nose to spite your face, you
right.
know, and so anyway, tell us who our guest is tonight.
Yeah,
because
well,
I've let in, you,
have. You
know, and... But we want to remind 410-922-6680. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, we're going to get people to call in. Yeah, Alex McMullen is with us tonight. Welcome, Alex.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Yeah, well, thanks for being here. And as you point out, Drew, you know, Alex is an estate attorney, so he doesn't just do wills, but he looks at the whole picture, as we do, but helps people with wills, advanced directives, you know, healthcare power of attorneys, all those kinds of documents. But also, you know, it was very timely because last night I was in the urgent care place and Alex started looking at my hand, you know, and I get a little, you know, medical malpractice. He was thinking, did something happen there? So, when I sliced my hand trying to fix my dryer last night. So,
yes.
But the guy did a good job. So he has
maybe
nothing to
workers,
worry about.
Maybe
I'm not coming after him.
Maybe you know. Workers comp.
Yeah. That, well, for the appliance company.
You could sue Kim.
Yeah, my wife for making me do it. No, she didn't do it. So, but Alex, yeah, welcome. Thanks for being here. Coming from Towson, all the way around Towson, which was like an hour drive tonight.
Yes, I am. So. It was a parking lot, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All right, Alex, we're going to be talking estate planning with our listeners. We're going to take questions from them. We're not going to do the interview, and as long as they call in. So if you have a question on estate planning or malpractice, either one, Alex will be able to help you. 410-922-6680. We have a couple callers calling in now. And if you want to get in, now's a good time to do it. I'm going to Ron in Bel Air. Ron, how can we help you?
Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
We're doing great.
Great. Thank you.
So my question is, I have older parents in their 80s, and I'm trying to help talk to them about how to protect the assets of their home. They both have health issues, and I have a sister who's going to be their executor.
Okay.
I was just looking for recommendations about, you know, should they be titling their home with us, with the children, myself, my brother, my sister, and mine, or should they...
Do they have other assets, Ron, other than the house?
They have some stocks and bonds.
So what do you think their total net worth is?
Probably somewhere between $500,000 and $750,000.
Do they have a lot of good income other than Social Security?
No, they have no income other than Social Security and the money they take from their stock portfolio.
And one more question before I turn it over to Alex. Do you have major medical, do they have major medical complications that they could go into a nursing home?
Yes, possibly.
Okay. All right, Alex.
Ron, this is a perfect example of what I tell people is that there's not a one-size-fits-all to what you just described. People come into my office and ask this exact question, and I say it's kind of like, what color is the sky? Well, at night it's black, and some days it's gray, and some days it's blue. There's not a one-size-fits-all. The other thing I try to encourage people to do is don't do through a deed what you should be doing through real estate, I mean through estate planning, and don't do in estate planning what you should be doing in titling. So my highest and best suggestion, Ron, and I'm not trying to duck the question, as to all you said, I have very strong opinions one way or the other, but I'd suggest that you do sit down and plan out a strategy with a well-qualified attorney. There's plenty up in Bel Air. Our office is right down in Towson, which is not far from you.
Well, he has two big issues, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. Alex? He's got elder care issues, mm-hmm. where if they went into a nursing home, it could wipe out a lot of their estate.
Right.
And then he's got the estate planning issues. And your point is extremely well taken, because if he goes to do the elder care planning, he's going to impact a lot of income tax and estate issues that he would do. But if he does estate planning, he's going to bypass elder care issues. So
right.
You're absolutely right. It is very complicated. He has to make the choices which is most
sure.
important to him.
Sure. And Ron, I call it McMullen's law of law, that to every action there can be an equal and opposite reaction. As Drew was saying, for purposes of the quote-unquote long-term care planning, there's so many options out there, and people have when people make that kind of decision of how do I best get the best bang for the buck on their elder care planning, there's times where that's completely opposite of the estate care planning. And when it comes to deeding, I will start with the question that you asked about deeding.
We gotta do a traffic thing.
Oh, sure.
No, so
let's come back to that.
We're gonna come back to it. Ron, why don't you listen when we come back, and then we'll finish up with that, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, let's go to traffic before Anita starts looking at me with that angry look that she gets every once
yeah,
in a while.
Every once in a while.
We're gonna go to a pause with traffic. We'll be right back. Money, riches, and wealth.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with Alex McMullen, and we're talking legal things, mainly estate planning and malpractice. If you have a question, call in 410-922-6680. We have lines open for you. We do have a couple callers online. We're getting to them in a second. Real quick, Alex, 30 seconds. Give us a quick why don't you put joint titling with children on the deeds?
Right. Now, if you put depending upon how you put your children on title and deeds, you could be opening yourself up and your property up to the possibility of garnishment against your property because they might have creditors. If they don't have creditors now, they might have creditors down the road if they were in a car accident.
They could be in a bankruptcy situation, liability, divorce,
right.
All kinds of things. You open up your property that when you put them on there, there's a lot easier ways to do it. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So we're going to Margaret in Ellicott City. Margaret, thanks for holding.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Yes, I have a question for Alex McMullen,
yes,
the estate lawyer, and that is, I have a friend that wants to leave her house to me.
Yes, ma'am.
She has no family. and she wants to know what is the best way for her to go about it to pay the least, or for me to pay the least amount of taxes.
Well, that's a great question, Margaret. The issue is that she's a friend, and as such, if it was a family member who was leaving it to you, a direct, what's called a direct linear heir, a parent, a child, a brother, sister, a spouse, there'd be no inheritance tax. In light of the fact that she's a friend, there will be inheritance tax on the transfer either now or down the road through her estate. So when it comes to paying the least amount possible, basically in light of the fact that there's no direct linear relationship, there is going to be tax. The good news is it's not an onerous tax, and quite honestly, pardon me?
What kind of tax did you say?
It's an inheritance tax. Maryland has a 10% inheritance tax on property going to nonlinear heirs. That would be if it's at death, and even if there's a gift during lifetime, then you run into all sorts of problems that are far beyond the scope of this conversation.
How much is the house worth, Margaret, do you think?
I would say at least $800,000.
So it's about $80,000 you'll pay,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, for an $800,000 house, it's still not a bad deal, do you think?
No, it sounds good on one hand, but on the other hand, to put all that money out.
Right.
Yep.
There are some planning things you may be able to do, but they get complicated, as Alex says. But that's your dear issue that you have to deal with. I would sit down and talk to a good estate planner and see if there's any other options you can do. All right?
And for her own interest, it's not wise for her to put me on her deed.
That comes with all kinds of complications and issues. And one more question. How many other assets does she have, or is it just the house pretty much?
No, I mean, she has all of her furnishings.
No, I mean, does she have a lot of stocks and bonds and IRAs and things like that?
Yeah, she has that, but that, I believe, is going to other people.
So do you think her total estate's more than like $1.5 million, do you think?
I would say probably close to that.
Yeah. Well, if she's, elderly and could pass away at any time, she does need to be making sure she's talked to some estate attorneys, because in Maryland, at $1.5 million or more, you could run into another thing called the estate tax in addition. So why don't you get in touch with a good estate attorney and, you know, have her and you sit down and talk it over, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
We got to run to Washington. Washington, how can we help you?
Yes, good afternoon. Good evening, Drew, Tom, and Alex.
Good evening.
What's up, buddy?
Yes, quick question. What documents, estate documents, need to be changed if you're moving out of the state of Maryland? Like, let's say I've taken care of all that in the state of Maryland, then I move out of the state of Maryland in the future.
Good question. Different states have different reciprocity laws. Reciprocity laws are if the document was correct in the state in which you come from, in this case Maryland, and you move to another state that has reciprocity back and forth, where the two states accept each other's documentation, then they'll accept the Maryland documentation.
I think he's going to be talking about Florida. So is Florida a good reciprocity state?
Maryland and Florida do have reciprocity, so your documents will be honored down there when it comes to the estate planning ones. What you want to check most on, it's Washington, is that correct?
Yeah.
Washington, what you want to check on if you end up going to Florida, you want to check to make sure that the health care powers of attorney, the living will, and the financial powers of attorney suffice once you get down there. And find out the cost of what it's going to cost you to redo the documents in Florida. It's probably not hugely expensive when you go from one state to another.
Well, it sounds like the last will and testament is not as much of an issue, other than if there's any beneficiary changes, but definitely the legal power of attorneys as well as the health care power of attorneys, those may need to be reviewed and actually changed once I move.
Yes, yeah. Sir. And if you're going to be looking, if you're going to be having an attorney look down in Florida as to the other documents, you might as well take in the last will and testament and verify that passes the muster in Florida.
But because there's reciprocity, he doesn't have to rush down
right.
worry about it right away. He could wait a year or two and then do it.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
All right, Washington.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sir.
Good question. Gene in Columbia, how can we help you?
I'm not sure if this is beyond your expertise, but I'll take a shot. Exactly when should someone apply for one of your remaining parents who now is in assisted living, who at any moment, because she's at the highest level of care, may have to go to a nursing home? When do you apply for Medicaid?
That's a good question. That's a great question.
I'll tell you the circumstance.
Is he still married or single?
My dad is deceased. I'll tell you the financial situation. Within the last 3 years, we've moved all the money out of her name.
In the last 3 years?
Well, let's put it this way. 2 years ago, one chunk of the money was moved into my name.
Okay.
And then 2 years ago, maybe a year ago, another chunk was moved into my name and my sister's name. She has basically enough income from a pension from my dad and Social Security to pretty much cover the assisted living now. But the cost of nursing care, full nursing care, is almost twice as expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that came up, there's enough money that was moved, the money we already had and money that is to cover 3 years of full nursing care.
Right. Now, hold on a
second. Now, at that point, when the 3 years were up, we would be beyond the five-year look back for the original chunk of money that's in my name.
Okay, hold on, Gene. Hold on a sec. Now, Alex, do you feel comfortable answering an elder care question like that?
As specific as this is, Gene, I would have to take a pass. I can speak in generalities, which is what Drew had alluded to, you had alluded to it, the five-year look-back period. There is a five-year look-back period, but there's not enough information really to go on.
Yeah, and what I would say, Gene, is you should talk to somebody like Kevin Bress, who's an elder care attorney specialist.
Kevin's excellent.
Kevin is excellent, and there are a lot of little tricks they can pull that can possibly get her qualified even before the five-year look back is left.
That's my basic question. Do you apply 6 months before your money's going
to
run out?
You have to talk to Kevin because
you wait until the money runs out.
Well, if you wanted to just protect whatever you have, you got to wait the full 5 years. But if you wanted to use some of the tricks, there's ways that you can apply now and do things, but I don't even want to comment on that. I want to leave that to a person like Kevin.
And what I don't understand is, does the five-year look-back take place at the time of application or the time of need?
The five-year look-back takes time of the gifts are being made. And so if you apply today, they're going to look back now and say, okay, you're disqualified for umpteen years. So you would want to wait until that last gift was made and then go 5 years out from that last gift, and that's the day you would apply, unless you want to apply some of these tricks that they have.
Yeah.
And I don't even want to comment about them. Sit down with Kevin.
It's well worth the money.
Like I said right now, if she had to go in full nursing tomorrow, it would be enough for that for 3 years.
And if you can,
the 5 years for that original trauma.
And if you can, then that's what I would do.
Okay.
But you got to talk to Kevin or someone, all right?
What's his number?
410-339-6767. 410-339-6767.
Good memory.
All right?
Thank you.
Take care. I got to run before Anita's looking at me with the evil eye. Traffic, take it away.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with Alex McMullen who told us that he can also go by Sam McMullen. And what else did you say?
Ross. Yeah.
Ross McMullen.
Yeah, so if you know him, you know,
so
call
Sam,
in.
Alex, and Ross are all here with us all at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And answering your questions on estate planning or malpractice. So if you wanted to call and ask on one of them, and we're going to Tom in Lutherville. Tom, how can we help you? Tom? Are you? There you are, Tom, man. Go for it, buddy.
I'm going to turn 65 in November, and I know I have to sign up for Medicare. The question I have is, I've been on my wife's health insurance for years, and that's my primary insurance. I don't have my own. Will anything change when I sign up for Medicare, as long as she's working?
You're turning 65, right?
Right.
No, well, I mean, and her plan will provide the Medicare supplement for you too, right?
Well, I haven't asked them that yet.
So what you need to know is, can you continue on her medical plan as you're on her plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm on her plan. We're both still working.
Okay, so, you know, there's one of two things. Medicare Part A, Tom, is just automatic, so... But if you're on her plan and they don't require you to go to Medicare Part B, then all that happens is you go on to Medicare A, which is merely the hospitals, and you continue under the same medical care or medical insurance that you had before you were 65. Okay? Now, if they require you to go to Medicare Part B, then you got to sign up for Part B, and... their plan then becomes nothing more than a supplemental, but really nothing changes other than that.
Right. Now, if I sign up for Part B, that would be a cost to me, right?
Yes.
Out of pocket.
It all depends on your income as to whether it's $100 a month or a lot more.
Well, why would they be able to force me to, lay out money for a new plan as long as she's working and I'm her spouse?
Well, in most companies, you're alive. What company does she work for? You don't mind telling us?
Johns Hopkins Hospital.
Oh, well, then you don't have to do anything. You know, you basically just get Medicare Part A and you stay on the plan. But I will tell you this, that if she ever leaves there, you need to get what's called a credible coverage letter before, because, you know, since you're not signing up for Medicare Part B at age 65, then when you do sign up for Medicare Part B, which you will someday in the future when she leaves there, you'll need a credible letter to prove that you're not to be penalized because you're signing up after 65. All right, that's all I can give you on this right now because we're going to go to estate planning questions from here. All right, Tom, thanks for your call.
Bye.
Leonard in Baltimore. Leonard, you there?
Sure. Question.
Go ahead.
My wife's mother passed away, and she left my wife some real estate. Now, the real estate is not in this country. It's in the Philippines. And it's quite a considerable amount, as there are five properties located in different localities throughout the Philippines.
Okay.
Now, the issue, point of... question here is since my wife passed away also and her name is on the certificate of title for these properties that were left to her by her mother when she passed, what's happening is I'm being pressured by the family of my wife who also passed away to relinquish it by signing a waiver over to them. Am I obligated to doing that?
No, you're not obligated. A lot of it comes down to, Leonard, and I've had a number of estate situations that have real property in other countries, most notably the Philippines and Germany and two in England. And there's just so many good questions to be asked, when everyone died, both in terms of your mother-in-law and your wife passing away. It's going to come down to that, and also how your mother-in-law's will read in the Philippines, and also how your wife's will read. But there are a lot of questions there, a lot of questions that need to be asked. In the meantime, I would strongly discourage you from signing anything that would sign away your rights in your mother-in-law's interests or your wife's interests in her property.
Okay, so basically, would I be under lawful constraints here, would I be rightful heir to that property?
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's just, Leonard, there's so many questions to be answered.
It's convoluted.
It's very convoluted, but most importantly, it sounds as if your wife's rights had vested. Are you familiar with the term vested?
Well, is that a short for investment?
No, no. In other words, did she have an absolute right? Was she on these deeds back in the Philippines? Because
my wife was an American citizen living in this country,
uh-huh.
And she gave up her Philippine citizenship when she came here.
Right. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I doubt that would stop her from receiving rights under her mother's will or any kind of property rights which she already had.
Well, now she's deceased now. I'm not talking about mm-hmm. my wife. I'm talking about her family.
Right, right, right. And that's, yeah, I hear you. The highest and strongest suggestion, Leonard, would be that you indeed seek someone out who is familiar with a lot of estate administration and one that crosses borders, because there's not enough information for me or anyone in such a short period of time to try to analyze this. There's so much going on.
But a cut to the chase overview, would I or would I not be rightful heir to those properties since it's in my last name?
It depends on the wife's will, wouldn't it?
Right.
Because the mother died first, mm-hmm. and left it to the wife. The wife
right.
never reassigned them. Now the wife owns them. The wife dies. If the wife left everything to the husband, he would be the rightful heir, unless there's something in Philippine law that would say otherwise.
Right,
right.
Okay, right.
But the issue is that my wife left no will.
Oh.
Well, she died intestate, that means that the house is left, the property is left 50-50 between you and your children, right? Would you say, Alec?
We have no children.
You have no children, then it would all go back
goes
to him.
To him.
Yeah.
Intestate.
Yeah.
Say again, please.
It all goes to you because the Maryland wrote your wife a will, and it's called the intestate laws, and you're the sole survivor then since you have no children.
Right.
You need to talk to a good estate attorney off air somewhere and get this resolved, okay?
Can you recommend one?
There's one sitting here. Alex, tell them how to get in touch with you.
Where are you located, Leonard?
I'm in South Baltimore, okay. Right near Locust.
Just give me your number.
Let me give you my number. It's 410. Do you have something to write with?
Let me grab a pen real quick.
Okay.
I'm getting to it, Anita. I'm really. It's a hard break, and I'm like... razor blade.
It's very
Anita.
Hard to break.
Like
okay,
a razor.
Are you ready, Leonard?
Yeah.
410-337-8702.
8702?
Yes, sir.
And your name?
Alex McMullen.
Is that M-C?
M-C-M-U-L-L-E-N.
I got to run, Leonard. Thank you.
Thanks, Leonard.
Thank you, sir.
Is there any best time to contact you?
You just business hours.
8:30 to 5.
All right, Leonard.
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
goodbye.
Sir.
Look at Anita in there smiling. I can take a traffic break.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. Alex, tell everybody again how they can get in touch with you. What's your phone number again?
410-337-8702.
All right, Alex McMullen, and we're going right away to Chuck on his cell phone. Chuck, are you still there?
Yeah, I am.
Go ahead and ask your question.
Well, I'm kind of hoping my perception is flawed. You can let me know. It has to do with this elder care planning and nursing homes. Am I correct that the Medicaid system is the state's welfare system?
It's federal It's federal assistance that is administered by states.
Right. So it's for people who are impoverished.
Right. And therefore, it's taxpayer dollars that provide the benefits.
That is correct.
Yep.
So when you do elder care planning and try to get assets out of someone's name who might need that care, isn't essentially the strategy to put the burden on the taxpayer rather than the individual or their family to pay for their care?
All too often, that's what happens.
Well, that's what happens, but those are the laws.
Well, it just doesn't seem, I mean, I'm being devil's advocate. I guess it just doesn't seem fair why there should be the intent to have public assistance for people who otherwise could afford their own care. I think that's part of what the problem with the country is.
Well, that may be true, but those are the laws, and I deal with the laws, and that's all that matters. So, but I understand what you're saying, but, you know, those are the laws. And I got to run because I want to get the rest of my estate questions in. Mm-hmm. Tony in Cadenceville.
Hi. I just, you know, I have a problem with, well, not a problem, but I have an issue with a life deed or it's
a life estate deed, right.
Yeah, a life estate deed. And what it is, it was set up in 2007. By my older sister, and she's not sure exactly what to do with it. But the issue came about that we have, you know, our mother is the grantor, and it's granted to the four children, and also the mother is the grantee. So now she's going into a nursing home, and now, of course, our assets are being bought down in the Medicaid. So the question is, now we have a house that's empty. If we sell that house, would all the funds have to go towards Medicaid, and then we have to wait till after she passes to sell the house, or would that be split up five ways?
Well, there's a lot of questions in there, Tony. I'm not trying to duck it, but there's so many issues of within what you say. I understand what you're saying, but there's some confusion going on in how this question's being presented to me.
Okay.
I would say again, and there's also one key issue, which is whether your mother retained the right to make changes to that somewhere down the road. Something tells me she did have the right to change it when you say she's also grantee. Mm-hmm. You're proving my point that it's not a good idea to do estate planning and a deed and deed writing in an estate.
Yeah, I didn't do it. My older sister did, and about, you know, back in 07. But it's a life estate without powers.
Without powers. Okay.
Yeah.
But, this is if you're worried about the elder care issues, you need to talk to an attorney like Kevin Bress, who deals with elder care, and that deed might work and it might not. But without seeing it and reading it, it would be hard for anybody to do. From an estate planning issue, that's a whole different scenario. All right, Tony?
Yeah, and how about as far as Medicaid, how would that apply?
The elder care planning comes in. That's where you need to talk to Kevin Bress and have him read the life estate deed to see what powers she did keep and how she did it and whether or not it would bypass Medicaid. And again, it gets back to that five-year time frame we talked about with that guy just a little bit ago, mm-hmm. you know. And if you're not past the five-year time frame, then it doesn't work at all. Okay, so that's a key issue. How long has it been since she did it?
2007.
Well, it was since 07.
So you're past the 5 years. You need to talk to Kevin and see how that deed's structured.
Yeah,
okay?
Look at all the assets. I mean, it's a lot bigger than just the house.
Yep.
You know.
All right, Tony.
Okay. And before I come out to see him. This deed is really only two sheets. Do I have all the documentation?
Yeah, that's all it's going to be. Wouldn't you agree?
Sure.
Yeah, two sheets would be about it for a life estate deed. If
mm-hmm.
it was a regular deed, it might only be one sheet.
Yeah, actually, it'll always be two.
And always two?
Yeah,
okay.
It's always two.
There you go. All right, Tony, good question. And Kevin Bress, you know, that's
Kevin's excellent.
Yep. Tell everybody again how to get in touch with you.
Alex McMullen at 410-337-8702. We're McMullen and Drury. Mm-hmm.
So I've got a minute left. Can you tell us quickly that story as to why you became an estate attorney? One minute. Let's see.
Real quickly. Well, time me. I'll hit it running. When I was 12 years old, my grandfather came to live with my family in Silver Spring from Long Island, New York. And the night that my grandfather died, my uncle stripped his house of everything that he owned, all the personal property. At the tender age of 12, I asked my father after the funeral, I said, what are you going to do about him taking all this personal property? And my father said, nothing. And I said, what? Why are you doing nothing? And he said, it's $500 worth of junk. What do I care? But they never spoke to each other the rest of their lives. Mm. And at the tender age of 12, I said to myself, you know, I'd love to be the guy that stops people from that kind of nonsense, from breaking up families over $500 worth of junk, like he had explained. Mm. And that's when I started to think about practicing law and estate planning and administration.
Wow. Good story, and it happens too often, you know?
Right.
It happens way too often. So one more time, tell everybody how to get in touch with you, Alex.
Alex McMullen, 410-337-8702.
All right. Alex McMullen, McMullen Drury, right?
Yes. Thank mm-hmm. you for the opportunity to be here.
No, it's great to
pleasure.
Be with you. Tommaso?
Ciao.
Yeah, and this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. Only frustrated Anita a little bit tonight.
There you go.